I'm Pastor Brian Paulson, and this is The Message. Thank you for listening here in Libertyville, in Lake County, or all around the world. Center your heart now with the prayer for illumination. Listen deeply to Holy Scripture, and get ready for God to deliver a word to you through the message by our associate pastor, the Reverend Amy Heinrich.
Let us pray. God, though we try to domesticate your gospel, it is wild and wondrously expansive. Though we try to reduce your mystery to dogma, it cannot be contained. Though we try to reduce your spirit into laws, it is unbridled grace. As we listen to your holy word once more, break through the limitations of our imaginations that the liberating good news might come and save us from ourselves. By the power of your Holy Spirit, and grant us to trust to believe the gospel, not because we see it, but because we have been seen by it and transformed through it. Amen. Our first reading this morning is found in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 40. As their exile in Babylon continues, Isaiah's people are forfeiting their faith in God and becoming defeated and cynical. He sees that a pep talk isn't going to be enough. Will he sit by and watch his people, chosen from ages past, now give up their hope of deliverance? Not Isaiah. He tells the people to take a moment, look up at the sky, and consider who created it. He helps his people look up and trust God's wisdom and ways. Those whose hope remains will be renewed by an inexhaustible God. Listen now for God's holy word. Look up at the sky and consider, who created these things? The one who brings out their attendants one by one, summoning each of them by name. Because of God's great strength and mighty power, not one is missing. Why do you say, Jacob, and declare, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and God ignores my predicament? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. His understanding is beyond human reach, giving power to the tired and reviving the exhausted. Youths will become tired and weary. Young men will certainly stumble. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not be weary. Here ends the first reading. Our second scripture lesson today is from the book of Hebrews. Many early Christians struggled with remaining faithful following Christ, not because they didn't want to, but because the culture around them was set against them. This is why the letter to the Hebrews is so powerful to them and still powerful and relevant for us today. The author encourages the early Christians to hold on and persevere. He reminds them that they are not alone. They are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, and Jesus has gone before them to show the way. Jesus has promised to be with them in their journey, no matter how difficult. Listen once again for God's holy word. So then, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame, for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him. and sat down at the right side of God's throne. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
The theme for our Halloween curriculum for today is perseverance, which we will explore through the literal and biblical metaphorical lens of running a race. Now, before I go any further, I must acknowledge that not all of you can identify with the notion of running a race, and not everybody has the ability or the desire to run a race. This is just merely a symbol of the spiritual journey that we are all on, whether we run, walk, limp, crawl, stumble, slither, fall down repeatedly, get lost, run in the wrong direction, sprain our ankle, and have to stop, at least for the time being. However we physically and spiritually move through the world, we all do move. We all have disabilities, frailties, wounds, and struggles in whatever form they come. Our vulnerability is part of what makes us human. So I'm not trying to lift up the tyranny of normalcy or the idealization of heroic athleticism. In fact, perhaps there is even greater perseverance needed when there are real limitations, disabilities, and injuries to contend with. Yet, move we must, for faith is a verb. And whatever our story is, physically, emotionally, spiritually, interpersonally, demographically, we are called to put one foot in front of the other and put our faith in action and travel, preferably forward, as we follow our Lord and Savior. Now, having said this, I do happen to come from a family of marathoners. All three of my sisters ran many marathons. I was a runner too, but my need for a hip replacement thwarted my ability to run a marathon. However, I watched my sisters, and I learned that the way they got through the rigors of training, competing, and completing the race was with discipline and having running buddies, a community of accountability and support. When the day came for the race, they would never run alone. They would strategically have friends and family members stationed at specific mile markers to cheer them on. I have had other friends who have run marathons for a purpose larger than themselves, to raise money and awareness for a cause that they are passionate about. They have all said how motivational this is to have people and a purpose that is counting on them in the forefront of their minds as they run. There is a truly remarkable story of Canada's Stephanie Case, a human rights lawyer for the United Nations who finished as top female in Italy's Tour des Glaciers, a 450-kilometer, 3,200-meter gain ultra trail run. She ran for 6.5 days, sleeping a meager 4 to 5 hours over the course of the entire run. Staggering, staggering accomplishment. What possibly could have given her the determination and perseverance to endure such an unrelenting grind on her body and mind? It was the plight of the Afghanistan girls and women. Case had created a charity called Free to Run, whose mission is to enable women and girls to safely and boldly engage in outdoor activity in conflict-affected regions. When asked how she prevailed, she said, "Strong legs can help, but they alone cannot carry one over mountain peaks for 7 straight days." I thought about the women and girls of Free to Run in Afghanistan with every step. She cited the recent restrictions placed upon women with the Taliban's return as having only made her stronger and determined to make a difference. She said, "I was enraged to the core, but the fight is not over yet." She believes that her accomplishments will continue to inspire women to make a difference and show the world that women can handle the toughest of environments. This is an inspirational story of someone who kept their eyes on the prize, the way we are instructed to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. All of these accounts of grueling preparation and execution make it clear that the power of communal support is crucial in sustaining one's endurance. For some runners, the community is physical. It's right there running alongside them or witnessing to the run as cheerleading spectators. And for others, like Stephanie Case, they are there in spirit. This is what the text from our Hebrews reading for today calls the great cloud of witnesses, the saints who have gone before us and are still with us, inspiring us to keep going. Being a Christian is not a sprint, nor is it a short distance. If anything, it is more like Stephanie Case's ultra trail run through steep climbs and difficult terrain. We see the biblical story, such as in our texts in Isaiah and Hebrews, as being a story in which the people of God become discouraged, tired, defeated, and aren't sure whether they have the spiritual stamina required to keep going, to keep trusting that God is leading them. And like Isaiah and the author of Hebrews, we too have prophetic voices that spur us on. There is so much we can learn from long-distance runners about our long-distance run of faith. First, it requires training. No one can endure the challenge of a long-distance run without doing a lot of hard work to prepare. If the church is really doing the work it's called to, it is our training ground. The training ground for muscular, courageous, resilient, and tenacious discipleship. We train through worship, Bible study, spiritual practices, prayer, regular acts of service, faith formation classes, and studies like Sacred Ground. Studies like this that open our eyes and hearts to the discrepancy between the world as it is and the world that God wants it to be. And Jesus is our training coach. Jesus is calling us to help and repair the breach. Next, it requires rest, or what we call Sabbath. Anyone in training for a marathon knows there are off days to allow the body to restore and heal. The process of pushing our bodies creates little tears in our muscles that need to mend. Do you know what the biggest muscle in the body is? Our hearts. The hard work of being a Stephen minister to somebody who's in deep grief, or the Christian doing reconciliation work between Christians, Jews, and Muslim, or the Christian activist visiting the imprisoned, or working on our Matthew 25 initiative to address structural poverty and systemic racism, or the Christian working for policies that care for God's creation by reducing our carbon footprint, or fighting for human rights like Stephanie Case, or welcoming asylum seekers in our community, or doing the truth and reconciliation work with indigenous people and the churches who injured them with their boarding schools. This work is hard, and it makes little tears in our hearts. The wounds in our hearts open us to compassion. But if we just keep tearing our hearts, they will eventually be torn apart. We need to take Sabbath rest and renewal time for our hearts to mend so that we can have wholehearted capacity to continue the work that God calls us to. Long distance runners also teach us the critical importance of pacing ourselves. The one and only race I ever ran, I had so much adrenaline, so much performance anxiety. I came out of the gate way too fast. I thought I was going to cramp and hit the wall at mile one. Not a good start. Slowing down enabled me to finish the race. As we try in the church to tackle big, lofty goals that have been here for decades before us, and will be here for decades after we've gone, we must pace ourselves so we don't burn out. As much as we feel urgency about such critical and time-sensitive issues as climate change and systemic racism, we have to work for realistic mini-goals all along the way. And as we accomplish some wins, this gives us something to celebrate. The victories give us hope that we're on the right path, that long arc that leads towards justice. On the night before he was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke to a crowd gathered in Memphis, Tennessee. He affirmed that there would be difficult times ahead. He said he wasn't concerned because he had been to the mountaintop and he had seen the promised land like Moses. And like Moses, he knew he might not make it all the way to that promised land, but he was not fearful of any person because he was sure that the people would eventually reach that promised land. He said, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Martin King models for all of us how to keep our eyes on the prize, that holy horizon line of the glory of the Lord. Jesus is out ahead of us as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This vision will help us to persevere even against formidable odds. Long-distance runners may, like Stephanie Case, run a very long and arduous way, but there is ultimately a finish line and a victory lap and a deep sense of accomplishment that fuels the energy needed to keep going. Martin King and all those involved with the civil rights movement haven't gotten to the promised land, and the work is far, far from over. However, there were clearly delineated goals with finish lines all along that long march, and there were significant milestones accomplished, to name just a few. In 1956, the Supreme Court declared bus segregation unconstitutional. In 1960, the desegregation of interstate travel. In 1962, the Supreme Court orders Ole Miss to integrate. In 1963, the deeply influential March on Washington took place. In 1964, the Civil Rights Act was passed. In 1965, the Voting Rights Act was passed. Anyone who is experienced in long-distance running is familiar with the term hitting the wall, which is the sense in which the body is going to shut down and cannot go any further. But they also know that once you push through that wall, you can go so much farther than you ever imagined or dreamt was possible. My friends, what if what we perceive as walls are actually doors into God's dream for a better, more just future? Dr. King didn't live to see the lasting impact of his work. This is true for all of us who are working to build God's kingdom on earth. We may never see the world God longs for. We are often sowing seeds of hope when despair is sprouting all around us. God calls us nonetheless to persevere with hope, even when the way is difficult and long and uncertain, and we are far from where we want to be. We might be tempted to despair, but all movements for true, holy change take generations to accomplish. We do not run alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have run the race of faith valiantly and are cheering us on. And our starting point is far beyond where theirs was. And one day we will pass the baton to the next generation to carry on where we have left off, and it is my prayer that their starting point will be far beyond where ours was. So take the long view, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and keep the prophet Isaiah's assurance close to your hearts. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired, walk and not be weary.
Thank you for listening on our podcast or through our YouTube playlist of sermons. Be sure to forward this message to someone who you believe is seeking God's word today.